Today's daf is Moed Chatan Daf Chaf Aleph. We are going to discuss today the makar for the idea of Kriya Mu'uma, that when one tears Kriya, they do so while standing up. The Gemara is going to have two possibilities of where that comes from. The Gemara is going to talk about various Yisurim of an Avel, what an Avel is not allowed to do, including Talmud Torah and a possible exception of Rabbi Mitzrichim Lo. We're going to talk about the Yisur Tefillin of an Avel, the Din of Panim Chadashos, when it comes to Tefillin, the Yisur Malacha, whether an Avel is ever allowed to leave his house, go be Menachem other Avelim, and then we'll spend some time on Sheila Shalom. Today's Shir is sponsored by, I'm just reading it, Mostos Chernobyl, in honor of Elisha David HaKohen reaching the age of Bina. So happy birthday to Elisha David HaKohen, and thank you to Mostos Chernobyl, wherever they may be, I presume Baltimore. But let's begin. Daf Chaf Aleph. We left off on the bottom of Daf Chaf Am Beis, and we were in the middle of discussing Avelus on Shnios. The concept that when a person has a relative who's in Avelus, that they have to be Noeg Avelus as well. So three lines from the bottom, the Gemara tells us, Amemar Shachav Lei Bar Berei. Amemar suffered the tragedy of his grandson dying, the son of his son. Kari Ilavei, so he tore Kriya, Asa Berei, Kara Ba'apei. Then his son came, and when he saw his son, he tore Kriya again in front of his son. Itgar de Miyushav Kara, then he remembered that he tore Kriya while he was sitting down. So come, Kara Mu'uma. So he got up and he tore Kriya again, this time standing up. Amle Ravashi La Meimar, Kriya de Mu'umad Minalan. Where do you get the idea that you need to tear Kriya Dafka standing up, that you can't tear Kriya sitting down? Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says, Vayakam Iov Vayikras Milav, that Iov stood up when he tore Kriya. Tosus points out over here that it's a little bit strange. Why does he have to tear Kriya again when he sees his son? That when his son shows up, he has to tear Kriya again? So says Tosus, Lios Noeg Imo Avelus, because the halacha of being Mesabel on Shnios is Ba'apotino Gavelus, so that you're Noeg Avelus in front of the Avel, in front of the person who's actually going through the Avelus. But Tosus still says, V'tema, Kivan Dekara Kvar, V'chitzarech Lekroa Klal Lefnei Akrovim. But if you already tore Kriya, really you need to tear Kriya again in front of the Krovim? What is he accomplishing by that? He already tore Kriya, so he was already Noeg Avelus, and specifically by Kriya, where we pointed out that the din is not just, Rav Moshe quotes from Rav Yechiel Tkachinsky, I think, that the idea is that it's not just the Maisa Kriya, but it's that you should have a Beged Karua, and he already had a Beged Karua, so what's he doing by tearing again in front of the Krovim? So those are two possibilities. First possibility is V'shem Lashmin and Dabape Noeg Avelus. Maybe it's Dafka to make the point to teach us that the din of Avelus and Shnios is only Bape, is only when you're in front of the person who's actually sitting Shiva. But then Tos suggests an entirely different pshat. Va'rapi resh asa berei kara ba'ape l'fisha meimar kara miyushav va'asa benolas kiroshu ta'a l'kroa miyushav va'kriya ze asa benoshala meimar va'idei kach niskara meimar v'kara pam shniya mu'umad. It's not that a meimar tore Kriya three times in the story. One time before his son came, then the second time when his son came, and then the third time when he stood up, when he realized that he was sitting down the whole time. No, a meimar only tore Kriya twice. The first time and the third time. The second time was his son tearing Kriya. Meaning, a meimar tore Kriya when his son was not there. Then his son came, and his son tore Kriya properly by standing up while he was tearing the Kriya. A meimar sees his son tearing Kriya standing up, and a meimar realizes, Ivey, I did it wrong. You're supposed to tear Kriya standing up. And that's when a meimar corrected himself, and he tore Kriya properly. Now there is a big discussion when it comes to Avelus on Shniyim, Avelus on secondary relatives. What is this din of Avelus on Shniyim? Is it a chiv mitzad atzmo that mitarabanan the even Shniyim have a din of Krovo Shel Meis and therefore they have a full din of Avelus? Or maybe no. Maybe it's only a chiv to be Noeg Avelus together with the Karov, together with the relative. The pashas is that seems to be machlokas tanoim, whether we're Noeg Avelus dafka imo b'bay, or even b'fnei atzmo, meaning that was what we learned about yesterday. But still, even if we hold like the chum that we're only mesabel imo b'bayis, is that considered your own personal kiyum avelus that you're only chayev in when the avel is in the house? Or is it, no, it's not your own kiyum avelus, it's a chelik of the niyug avelus of the karov, that the person who actually has to sit shiva, part of his niyug avelus is that other people are joining him in his avelus. So it could be, Rav Soloveitchik suggests in Shir Erev that this is machlokas Rishonim. The Tosos Ba'apa, Dibra Maskel Ba'apa, has a suffix whether you're knowing Avelus only in front of the Karav Mamish or even in the entire house of the Karav. From the Lashon of the Rambam in the second paragraph of Hilchos Avel, it sounds like you're only chayiv to be knowing Avelus Bifnei Krovo. But from the fact that the Ramban writes in Torah Sa'adam that they were not the Loi Tirel Dvarm Shabbatina B'toch Beso, it implies that Bibes Krovo, you're chayiv to be knowing all Dina Avelus, even Shalom Bifanav. So it could be that machlokas is about this very issue. The Rambam holds that there's no Kiyam Avelus Mitzad Atzmo, it's only that you're being Mitzdarev to the Kiyam Avelus of the Karov. And that is only knowing, that's only Shaykh when you're knowing Avelus Bifanav Mamish. But the Ramban holds that the Niyug is considered a Kiyam Avelus Mitzad Atzmo, that it's your own personal Kiyam Avelus. And that's why, even though we give a heter to not to be knowing Dvarm Shabbatzinim B'soch Beso, but Al Kalpanim in the base Krovo, you're Chayiv to be knowing Avelus, even Shalom Bifanav, because there's a kiyum avelus in that. There's a kiyum avelus for the person himself. He says maybe that's when Tosos says that a person is chayv to be misabel, not only on the Tosos Dibra Maskal says that a person is chayv to be misabel, not only on those who are nolad mikrovov, but also on siblings min ha'aim. Whereas Ramban and Torah Adam quotes from Chachmei Atzarfatim that you're only chayv that we're not chayv lisabel b'shniim unless you're also karav lehen. But if you're not also karav to the mace, like if it's a brother from the father that's being misabel on a brother from the mother, where you're not really related at all to the other party, then you don't have to be knowing avelus at all. So what's the machlokas about? Whether you have to be knowing avelus on any of your karov's krovim or only one that's related to you? Maybe it's the same issue. If it applies to any of your karov's krovim, even if he's not related to you, so that's because it's not your avelus, it's his avelus. And part of his avelus is that you have to join with him in the avelus. So it doesn't matter if he's related to you or not. It's not your avelus anyway. But if you hold that it only applies to someone who's also related to you, ben beno, something like that, someone who's also related to the relative of the relative, so then you understand that it could be that that's a kiyum of his own avelus. That's considered part of his own avelus. And maybe that relates to this issue of kriya. Machlok Rishonim, whether this chiyuv of being koreya on shniyim is dafka b'fnei akarov, or even not b'fnei akarov. The Rambam in the second paragraph and the Ramban sound like it's dafka b'fnei krovo, but our Tosos sounds like no. The kriya could have been fulfilled even before the karov ever showed up. It's just that Amemer got it wrong. Certainly, according to the second approach of Tosos, he got it wrong, and he realized when his son came and taught kriya that he got it wrong. But otherwise, had he gotten it right the first time, even though his son wasn't there, it would have been an absolute, perfectly good kiyum of the kriya. So it could be, says Rav Soloveitchik, that the Rambam and the Ramban hold that even though he doesn't have a shame avel, he's still chayv to be korea b'toras nihuge avelus. That the kriya is one of the nihuge avelus. From the Gemara says kriya below shiva mi iko we had yesterday, and the din is that all nihuge avelus applied to shniim has to be that apply to shniim have to be dafka bifnei krovo, have to be dafka right in front of the Karov who's actually being misabel. So then, and according to that, even though we pass in Shulchan Aruch the Chayiv L'Kral of V'imo, even if it's after 30 days where you hear about the news, nevertheless, by Bishniim, you would not be Chayiv later on, because the Chayiv Kriya on Shniim is only B'toras Nihuge Avelus, and the Chayiv to be Korea on the Shmur Rechoka on Ave'im is not B'toras Nihuge Avelus. That's a separate din of Kibud Ave'im that has nothing to do with Nihuge Avelus. But Shitas Tosos, for Soldage points out, is a little bit difficult, that you don't need Kriya Bifanov on the Shniim, and nevertheless, Amemer was Korea, because it was Chazav Korea Bifanov, to let us know the Chiddush that Ba'api Noah Gavilusa. Why isn't that a violation of Baltashkis? It's unnecessarily being Korea. Shouldn't that be a violation of Baltashkis? So Soldage suggests that it could be that even Tosos Moda, that Kriya Bitoris Nihuge Avelus has to be Dafka Bifnei HaKor. It has to be right in front of the Karov. It's just that Tosos holds that aside from the fact that you're chayv to be Korea and Shneim, Bitoras Nihuge Avelus, there's also chayv to be Korea, Bitoras Shmuos Raos. That when a person hears bad news, they're chayv to be Korea. And that's what Tosos means. Al Yidei Kriya Shalob Befanav, you're Yotze, you're chayv to be Korea on Shmuos Raos. But nevertheless, he was Korea Befanav again in order to be Mekayim, the chayv of being Korea, Mitoras Chiyuve Avelus. So the Gemara had said So what's the source for tearing kriya while standing up? It's from Iyov. Vayakam Iyov vayikras mi'ilo. Says Gemara Me'ativ, that's a valid source that we can learn from whatever Iyov did, that that's what you're required to do. If that's the case, va'amad va'amar lo chafatzti lekachta. So you could be medayik from the word vayakam. So in a different context, where we describe chalitza, where the person decides that he doesn't want to perform the mitzvah of yibum. So it says va'amad va'amar lo chafatzti lekachta. Hachinami, you want to tell me chalitza can only be done if the man is standing up? But we learned in the Braisa that his body could be whatever position he wants to be. It's fine. He could do chalitza sitting, he could do it leaning, he could do lying or standing. It's all good. No, it doesn't say vayamod vayomer over there. It says va'amad va'amar, which is not an imperative. Whereas over here it says vayakam v'yikra, which makes it sound much more like an imperative that Iyov had to stand up in order to do the kriya. Amar Rami Bar Chama, minayin l'kriya shi mu'umad. Rami Bar Chama says, how do I know kriya is mu'umad? So the Gemara says, same source. Shenemar, vayakam Iyov vayikra. Dilma milsi yisir tehuda avad. Frek the Gemara, but wait a second. Maybe that was just a chumrah. How do I know that that's a requirement? Just because Iyov did it. Iyov was a very religious person. He probably did a lot of things that people aren't necessarily required to do. As a lefnim yishuras adin. Maybe this was just something extra that he did. Dilote mahachi. And if you're not going to say that, vayogaz esrosho hachinami. When the pasuk says that right afterwards, the very next phrase in the pasuk is that vayikra esmi ilo, and then vayogaz esrosho v'yipal arza v'yishtachu. So you see that he shored his head off. He shaved his head. So that's also a chiyuv. That's certainly not a chiyuv of avelus. So rather we have to say it's from a different source. The idea that one stands when they do kriya. The source is vayakam amelech vayikras begadav. That David amelech was being misabel on his son, and vayakam amelech vayikras begadav. Vidilma milsi yisir ta'avid. Maybe that too was an extra chumrah. Dilote mahachi vayishkavarza hachinami. Because if you don't say that, the fact that it says that he lied on the ground, so is that also something that's required? Vatanya, we have a braisa. Yashav al gabe mita, al gabe kise. If a person sits on a bed or on a chair or on udaini, some other type of kli that they would use for sitting on, and then the girsa over here is Gedola mikula namra filu al gabe karka. Even if he sits on the ground, lo yatsi yidei chavaso, he's not mekayim the mitzvah of kfiya samita. He doesn't fulfill the requirement of kfiya samita. Vam Rabbi Yochanan shlokiyim kfiya samita. Rabbi Yochanan says that's what it means, that he's not mekayim kfiya samita. But the bottom line is that apparently it says even al gabe karka, he's not yotze. So it's impossible that David would not have wanted to be mekayim the mitzvah, the requirement of kfiya samita properly. So if you can understand it literally, that he was al gabe, that vayishka varza literally, that's what David did, then it's a real problem. So answers the Gemara, no, amar le ke'ein artu. When it says vayishka varza, it means that it was ke'ein artu, it was like he was on the ground, but in Echinam he was on the mita kfuya, he turned the bed upside down, and that's how he was mekayim the kfiya samita. But it wasn't literally that he was actually on the ground. Now the idea that kriya is mu'umad, the Ravid is quoted in the Rosh in Siman Mem Daled over here. The Ravid asks, from the limudim that the Gemara brings, that kriya is mu'umad, we lechora, these sources are sufficient to teach us that lechatchila one should stand when tearing kriya. But how do we know that it's ma'akev b'diavad as well? And if it's not ma'akev b'diavad, then why would Amemar do it again? So it must be that we're assuming that it's ma'akev b'diavad. So where do we get that it's ma'akev b'diavad from these psukim? So the Ravid says that since it says twice, we have two different sources by Iyov and by David, so the repetition of the sources is what teaches us that Shana Alav Akasav La'akev, so to speak, that the repetition of the sources is what teaches us that it's Ma'akev. Not at all the Pasha Pshan and the Gemara. Pasha Pshan and the Gemara is we rejected the source from Iyov, and the source from Iyov is not good, and therefore we have to move on to a new source. So we have to assume is that even though we rejected the source from Iyov as a sole source, once we have another source for the idea of Omeid, so we know Iyov wasn't just doing it as an extra chumrah. Then we see from Iyov that it's also something that was done as a halacha requirement, and therefore can contribute to the idea that it would be ma'akev as well. The Ramban in Torah Sadim asks on the Ravid that when the Gemara, the whole discussion of the Gemara over here is about a memra, that he was chazar v'kara. So the whole kavana of the Gemara was minayin shezali kuva. That's really the Gemara's question. It wasn't asking about how do I know you tear kriya mu'umad l'chadchila. The whole question was, Amemar didn't just do it l'chadchila. He did it even b'diavad. He had to do it again. So obviously the Gemara was assuming that these sources are enough to tell us that it's even li'ikuva. Tan Rabban, a new set of halachos. Elu dvarim sha'avel asur b'hen. The following things are things that an avel is not allowed to do. Asur b'malacha, u'berechitza, u'besicha, u'betashmash hamita, u'benilas asandal. He's not allowed to work. He's not allowed to bathe. He's not allowed to anoint himself. He's not allowed to have marital relations. And he's not allowed to wear leather shoes. And also, on top of that, vasa likros petar b'nevim, uksum l'shanas b'mishnah, medrash b'alachos b'hashas v'agados, he's not allowed to learn. V'im ha'yi rabim tzrichim lo, eino nimna. But when it comes to learning, if it's rabim tzrichim lo, if a lot of people need him for his learning, for his piskei halacha, for his shiurim, then he cannot withhold his Torah that other people need. And we have a story to demonstrate that. U'maisu meis b'nosh Rabbi Yossi b'tzipori, once Rabbi Yossi's son in Tzipori died, v'nichnas l'beis ha'medrash v'darash kol hayom kulo. And he came to the beis ha'medrash and he darshened all day long, because apparently he was rabim tzrichim lo. Rabbi Barbarachana itra b'milsa, savr delal mepek l'pirka. Rabbi Barbarachana was once in Avelus and he thought that he shouldn't go to the yeshiva, he shouldn't go say shir. Amnei Rabbi Chanina, are you rabim tzrichim lo? Eino nimna. If it's rabim tzrichim lo, you cannot withhold the Torah from other people, you have to go and say the shir. Savr lukmi amore lei, he wanted to set up the meturgaman like he normally did. No, you shouldn't have a turgaman. You shouldn't give shir the way you normally give shir. It shouldn't be so such a public way that you would normally give the shir. So what should he do? So you should do like Rabbi Yudah Rabbi Lai did. What he did when he was in Avel was that he went into the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya went with him and sat right next to him. He would whisper to Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya. Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya the Torgamon. Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya would whisper to the Torgamon. The Torgamon is Shmuel the Rabbim. And then the Torgamon would say it out loud that everyone should be able to hear the Shir. But you can't say the Shir directly, apparently, because that, otherwise that would have been the simple Eitza. You can't say the Shir in the normal way by saying it through a Torgamon. The Torgamon was the human microphone that they would use. So you can't say it through the Torgamon. Rather, you have to do it in this indirect way to say it to somebody else and have that somebody else say it to the Torgamon. Now, the Brisa started by saying these are the things that a Avel is usher in. So it sounds like it's about to give us an exhaustive list of every halacha of an Avel. But it doesn't give an exhaustive list. It gives a very limited list. Tosus points out over here, Hachalo chashav dvarim shemetsuva alein kagon kfiyas amita vatifas arosh delo chashav elamili da'asaben. First of all, you'll notice that kfiyas amita and atifas arosh are missing from the list because we are not trying to include in the list the mitzvos asay of an Avel. What an Avel has to do. We're only trying to include in this list things that are usher for an Avel to do. And that's why Atifas Rosh Kfiyas Hamita are not on the list. What about the fact that an Avel doesn't wear tefillin, an Avel is usher b'sheila shalom? Those are isurim of an Avel. Tal says, tefillin b'sheila shalom lo chashiv dein zek kol yimei Avel kedamar l'kaman. We're going to learn about those things in today's daf. Those are things that do not apply for all of Shiva. They only apply for a limited amount of time within the period of Avelus, and therefore we're not going to mention those in this brisa. Tichbosis lo chashiv, why don't we mention doing laundry though? That seems to be a pretty important one, and it's an iser. So he says davi b'chal rechitza because it's included already in bathing, laundry, it's all the same, it's cleaning things. Avagav del'el ma'isi treikrai l'rechitza l'tichbosis, even though we quote two psukim previously for these two isurim, but they're closely enough related that we can get away with including them as one comment. But says Tosas a couple of lines later, once I mentioned it, meaning one might have looked at this brisa and said, oh, you know why it doesn't mention Atifas Rosh Kfiyas Hamita? Because when was the last time you were ever at a Beis Avel and you saw someone actually doing Atifas Rosh Kfiyas Hamita? It must be that that we don't do it. So why talk is it that we don't do it? He says that's not the reason the brisa left it out. The reason the brisa left it out is because those are mitzvahs haseh, not los haseh. But why is it that we don't do Atifas HaRosh and Tfiyas HaMita? Why don't we ever see an Aval with a turban on or a talis over his head as an Atifa for an Atifas HaRosh? Why don't we ever have a Tfiyas HaMita? We don't see the beds all turned upside down in a base Aval. So Tosfos points out the fact that we're not knowing to do Atifas HaRosh Tfiyas HaMita, Samchina Nahad Amrin B'Yushalmi, Achsanoi Yenuchayiv B'Tfiyas HaMita, Tlolemon Charoshu Pirush Mechashev, that people shouldn't think that he's practicing some sort of Kishuf when he does Tfiyas HaMita. It's a very suspicious kind of behavior. So we live amongst Goyim, and therefore we have people who are non-Jews working in the house all the time. They're going to think we're practicing some sort of kishuf, and it's not going to be good for the Jewish people when we do kfiyas hamita. Apparently all the other things that we do are not going to bother them, but that apparently is going to bother them. But another reason he says perhaps that we don't do kfiyas hamita, turn your mattress upside down, see how comfortable it is. It's just as comfortable as it was the other way. So it's not going to accomplish anything to do kfiyas hamita. Ve'eni keres ha-kfiya, di'eshen dal kundesi milamala ke'en regalim. He says, it wasn't turning a mattress upside down, but the way their beds were made was that there were four legs and four posts, where if you turn it upside down, the legs become the posts and the posts become the legs, but it still functions exactly the same. I mean, nothing's going to change from the bed. So it's the equivalent of turning a mattress upside down. It doesn't do anything. So that's why we don't do kfiyas hamita. Our beds don't lend themselves to kfiyas hamita. Kfiyas hamita was supposed to make it less comfortable, but it doesn't do that for us. And he says, aside from that, Atifas Rosh would feel like Purim. If people put on turbans when they were in Avelis, it would be like a joke. What kind of like you're dressing up as something else? So we don't do that. We stay away from that would ruin the entire atmosphere of Avelis. So that's why we don't do Kfiyas Hamita or Atifas HaRosh. Now, on the matter of Talmud Torah, so the Gemara had said that an Avel is not allowed to learn Torah, but if Rabban Tzrichim Lo, then it's permissible. Now, what does it mean he's not allowed to learn Torah? We know in Tishba we're also not allowed to learn Torah, except we are allowed to learn Torah in Tishba. We just are very limited in what we're allowed to learn in Tishba. We're allowed to learn Dvarim HaRavim Shabbi Yirmiyahu, we're allowed to learn Iyov, we're allowed to learn Hilchas Avelis, Hilchas Tishba. There's a whole list of things that we're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. Does that apply to an Avel as well, or is that only din in Tisha B'Av? Tosfos over here on the spot writes, "B'tshuvas Rabbeinu Yitzchok Zakeini Kasav Ki Rabbeinu Yaakov Hayoser B'Yimei Evlo B'Iyov B'Kinos U'B'Dvarim Arayim Shabbi Yirmiyah Midelo Tanile B'Shmaitin Kamo Tisha B'Av Shili Tainis U'B'Yimei Zeknuso Chazav Yehiter." He says it's a machlokas between Rabbeinu Yaakov in his youth and Rabbeinu Yaakov later on in his life. Rabbeinu Yaakov in his youth thought that this is only a heter for Tisha B'Av, but you're not allowed to learn anything on when a person is in Avelis. Pekudei Hashem Yishar Misam Chelev, Torah gives a person Simcha, even if it's Dvarim Arayim, one is not allowed to learn anything in Avelis, but then he changes his mind. What's the Svara to say that it should only apply to Tisha B'Av and not to Yemei Avelis? I understand the Svara to say that if it applies to Tisha B'Av, it should apply to Avelis as well. Pekudei Hashem Yishar Misam Chelev, these are sad things, they're not going to be Misameach you, so Mele, it's not a problem. What's the Svara to say that for Tisha B'Av it's okay, and it's not okay for Avelis? So I think I saw from Rav Soloveitchik once, I couldn't find it in Shir, but it must be somewhere that maybe the idea is that when it comes to Tisha B'Av, the reason we're allowed to learn Dvar Maraim is not because the Dvar Maraim don't make us happy. Chefta Shel Torah makes us happy. Talmud Torah makes us happy. But that's in Yana Diyoma of Tisha B'Av. I mean, the halacha by every yantiv is that you're supposed to study in Yana Diyoma. The Yana Diyoma of Tisha B'Av is Churban. That's in Yana Diyoma. That's considered in Yana Shel Yom. By Avelus, it's not in Yana Shel Yom. There's no Mahus Hayom of Churban. There's no celebration of Korban. It's just that a person is ba'avela, so he shouldn't have any simcha. So mele, all Talmud Torah is going to be yasser. That could be the issue over here. Ubi Yerushalmi Amar Avol Shona b'makom shein ragel Avol Shona b'makom shein ragel Mashma Shona k'mo b'tisha B'Av Shona perek basra d'tainis Avol Korban b'makom shein ragel. In Yerushalmi, it sounds like that he has the same heta that you would have on Tisha B'Av. Then a little further in Tosfos points out Umiu Avol Shona b'makom shein ragel Mashma da'had dafka shari v'lo b'iyov says, well, we do quote as the source for not learning Torah during Avelis as Hanik Doms. There has to be total silence. That sounds like total silence. You're not allowed to learn anything. anything. He says, no, it's not necessarily a raya, because it could be that you should be silent from dvarim ha-mesamcha. You should be silent from that which gives you simcha. But maybe those things that don't give you simcha, there's no need to be silent from such types of limud that don't give a person simcha in the first place. Now, when it comes to the issur of Talmud Torah, the Rush writes that Shamati Sharabenu Tam Hayukorim Oso B'Kol Shabbos Shlishi. The Rush writes that every Shabbos Rabbeinu Tam would get Shlishi in his minyan, and one time he was in Avel, and the Chazan didn't call him up for Shlishi, the Gabbai didn't call him up for Shlishi. Rush calls it the Chazan, means the Gabbai didn't call him up for Shlishi, and he was Olam Me'atzmo. He decided to take Shlishi anyway, and they said that since he gets Shlishi every Shabbos, someone who sees him not be Olam for Shlishi is going to think that it's Dvarim Shebefaresia, that it's because of the Avelis, and he thought that it was Avelis Befaresia. Sounds like had it been a weekday, it would be Asr for him to be Olam the Torah. But Lechora, where do we ever find an Asr? Is it Asr for him to hear Kriyas HaTorah? Does Novel have to walk out for Kriyas HaTorah? The Isra of Talmud Torah Lechora is the same, whether he's hearing Kriyas HaTorah or getting the Aliyah. So why should it be that Rabbeinu Tam makes the assumption that the Avel is not allowed to get an Aliyah, but he's allowed to be there for Kriyas HaTorah? That's also din in Talmud Torah. So if Salvechik explains in Shurei Rav and in Yoni Avel, Simul Chav Gimel, he says that what seems to be is that it's mutter for an Avel to hear Kriyas HaTorah because that's a chelik of the Seder Ayom. And anything that's included in the Seder Ayom is not considered Talmud Torah by an Avel. Just like we say by Tisha B'Av, that to say the parts of Kriya Shema is also Pesukim, and Ashrei is Pesukim, and the old Pesukim de Zimra, Pesukim de Zimra. So it's all Torah. So why are we allowed to say it? Because that's part of the Seder Ayom, that's part of the davening. So when it comes to laning, it's also part of the Seder Ayom. Aye, so then why is he not allowed to be Olo the Torah? That's a great explanation why he's allowed to listen to Kriya Torah. Why can't he get an Aliyah? Is that not the Seder Ayom? So Rav Salvechik suggests that which is usher for an Avel to be Olo the Torah, it's because aside from the Isser of an Avel to learn Torah, there's a separate Isser, Lelamed Torah La'acherim, that the Avel is not allowed to teach Torah. And even the Seder Ayom is included in that second Isser. There's a heter of Seder Ayom in terms of the Isser of learning Torah, but there's no heter of Seder Ayom in terms of the Isser of teaching Torah. And he says, that's what's going on in our Gemara. Rabim Tzrichim Lo Eino Nimna. We said that if it's Rabim Tzrichim Lo, the Talmud Chacham, so cannot withhold the Talmud Torah. That's a heter in learning Torah. It's not a heter in teaching Torah. So when it came time to teach Torah, what was he to do? We said he couldn't have a Torgamon. So why doesn't he just teach it straight? Why doesn't he just not use a Torgamon, just teach it straight? Why don't we have him teaching it to another guy who then says it to the Torgamon, and then the Torgamon will say it in such an indirect way? Because there's no heter for him to be Malamed Torah in that way. So he was only able to learn quietly to himself. Someone happens to overhear the learning, and then they say it to the Torgamon. So it's that somebody else who's being Malamed the Torah. But he's just learning quietly to himself, and someone, and Rabbi Chaim ben Akavya happens to be sitting next to him and overhears his learning, because there is no heter of being Malamed Torah la'acherim in this case. And now we understand what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that even though it's mutter for Novel to learn Dvar Marayim during Shiva, it's also to be Malamed Dvar Marayim la'acherim, because there's a special Isser being Malamed Torah, meaning the heter of Dvar Marayim also is only a heter in learning Torah. It's not a heter in teaching Torah. Rabbi Rav Shechter was not supportive of the idea of having shiurim in Dvar Marayim on Tisha B'Av. He thought you shouldn't have a public shiurim, that there shouldn't be held public shiurim on Tisha B'Av, and that's based on this idea that the heter of learning Torah is different than the heter of teaching Torah. Learning Torah is mutter. That's why when we do have the learning on the night of Tisha B'Av, we do it dafka in a style where we're just sitting around and just learning out loud, as opposed to a normal give and take that you would expect in a regular shir, because it's a different din of learning Torah versus teaching Torah. Okay, the Gemara further now. Tanu Rabbanan, new Braisa. Avel Gimel Yom Rishonim Asala Niach Tefillin. For the first 3 days, an Avel is not allowed to put on tefillin. Mishlishi ve'elach, v'shlishi b'chlal, but from the third day and on, including day 3, Mutla Niach Tefillin, he is permitted to wear tefillin. So when it says the first 3 days, apparently it doesn't really mean the first 3 days, because in the third day already he's allowed to wear tefillin, because as Tosus points out, Mitzas Yom Kikulo on the third day. V'imbo Panim Chadashos, Eino Chole Tzivre B'lazar. If he was already wearing tefillin, and then Panim Chadashos come, he does not need to remove the tefillin that he's already wearing on the third day. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Aval Beis Yom Marishon Amasal Aniach Tefillin. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it's not a din in 3 days. It's a din in 2 days. The first 2 days he doesn't wear tefillin. Misheni Visheni Bechlal Mutal Aniach Tefillin. But on the second day, after he already had a Mitzvah Yom of the second day, then he's allowed to put on tefillin. V'imbo Panim Chadashos Cholitz. But if Panim Chadashos come on the second day, he put on tefillin, and then someone new shows up to the Beis Aval that he hadn't seen before, he has to remove the tefillin. Amar of Masna, my time is Rabbi Lazar. What's the svar for Rabbi Lazar? Where does he get the idea that it's 2 full days of Avelos that where you can't wear tefillin? Because the pasuk says Vayitami Yemei Bechi Evel Moshe, that it's Yemei is plural, so it's got to be 2 days. Amar Avina, my time is Rabbi Shua. Where does Rabbi Shua get the idea that there's only one serious day of Avelos where there's no tefillin? Dechsev Achrisa Ki Yom Mar Yom singular. Rabbi Shua Nami Yaksev Vayitami Yemei. What does Rabbi Shua do with the fact that it says Yemei? Amar Lacha Shiny Moshe the Takif of Avale, that Moshe, the Avelus from Moshe Rabbeinu was a stronger Avelus, it was a more, heavier Avelus, and therefore it was we had 2 days of strong Avelus. Rav Loza Nami Yoksiv Achrisa Kiyom Mar. What does Rav Loza do with the pasuk that says Kiyom Mar, which sounds again in the singular, not in the plural? Iker Merira Chad Yomahu, because primarily the Iker bitterness that suffered is really the first day, is really 1 day, but nevertheless there is Avelus of not wearing tefillin for 2 days, Rabbi Lazar would argue. Amar Ula. So Ula says, how do we pass it over here in this machlokas? Halacha Rabbi Lazar bechalitza, v'alach Rabbi Yeshua ba'anacha. That we pass like Rabbi Lazar when it comes to being choletz, meaning Rabbi Lazar had said, on that first day that you're allowed to wear tefillin, when panim chadashos come, if you are already wearing your tefillin, you need not remove them. You can leave those tefillin on. Maybe you wouldn't put them on if there were panim chadashos there in the first place, but when panim chadashos come after you are already wearing them, you can leave your tefillin on. But the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua in terms of how many days that is. Rabbi Yeshua says there's only the first day where definitely no tefillin. On day two, you wear tefillin after a little bit after Mitzvah Yom, provided there are no Panim Chadashos, but when Panim Chadashos come, unlike what Rabbi Yeshua said that when Panim Chadashos come, you should take them off. When Panim Chadashos come, you don't take them off. And that's what we paskin, that the Avil B'yom Rishon doesn't wear tefillin. B'yom Sheni, he does wear tefillin, but only if there are no Panim Chadashos there when he's putting it on, and when Panim Chadashos then come in, he doesn't have to take them off. When I asked Rav Shechter, when my father-in-law was sitting Shiva years ago, I asked if there are any things that people typically get wrong in a Beis Avil, things to be careful about, halachas that maybe people aren't aware of, and this was one of the two or three that he pointed out, that he pointed to, that people may often make a mistake, that putting on tefillin on the second day of Avelus, the Avil should dafka do it before they open up the door to let people in, because once they're letting people in, it's very often people from the community who are not at the Levaya, who did not, who are Panim Chadashos, and if Panim Chadashos are in the house already, then the Avil shouldn't be putting on tefillin, but once he's wearing the tefillin, then he opens the door, and the people come in, he won't have to be cholet the tefillin, then you can leave the tefillin on. Ibailuhu, b'sheni l'ula choletz, o'eino choletz. On the second day, according to Ula, are we saying that you should take off the tefillin or you should not take off the tefillin? Tashema, amra Ula choletz maniach afilu me'apamu. Ula says, you do have to take it off by Panim Chadashos, not like we just explained. So we'll see, we paskin not like it. Tani namiach, yudah ben teimo, amra choletz maniach afilu me'apamu. That you take it off and put it back on even 100 times. Rava amar, and there's a we paskin kivin sheniach, shoveinu choletz. That once a person puts on the tefillin, he doesn't take them off. Iva Ravu Damar Alach Tan Dan Damar Shlosha. But didn't Rava say that by Kfiyas Amita that 3 days are the Ikra Avelus? So shouldn't we say the same thing by Tefillin? So how could Rava say that already on the second day, person's wearing Tefillin? And it's the Gemara Mitzvah Shiny. Kfiyas Amita is not a mitzvah; it's not an independent mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. So for a mitzvah, it's going to be different. For a mitzvah, we're not going to want to extend the Isser of doing a mitzvah for 3 days. Now the Tosos writes that according to Rabbi Lazar, that it's 3 days, and on the third day you're wearing tefillin, the mechanism is Mitzvah Yom Kikulo. That because of Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, that's why you wear tefillin on the third day already. So apparently, now Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, we've discussed in the past, only applies when there's a malos, right? Only when there's a series of days, we say that at the end of that series, Mitzvah Yom Kikulo. When there's, it's not when there's a celebration on a calendar day or something on a calendar day, because that's not a melos. That's not trying to fulfill a number in a series. It's just that day has kedusha. That's why in Yantif we don't say mixiyom kikulo, because it's the calendar day that's kovei the Yantif. We don't say on the last day of Yantif, okay, so you went to shul in the morning, now Yantif is over, and now mixiyom kulo. No, we don't say that. It's only when there's a melos, when there's a series of days, so it's considered to be a fulfillment of that series. So apparently he holds that 3 days of Avelus is also considered to be a melos. That's how Tosfos said. Just like we say by the Yisr Malach and Shel Shalom. So that's why Mitzvayom Kukula. But in Rabbi Kiveger's Chidush and Shulchan Aruch, he quotes from the Kuntras Matzevas Moshe of the Chachmas Adam that we don't say Mitzvayom Kukula by the first 3 days of Avelus, only for Dvar Mitzvah. So in Rabbi Yeshua's Shita, what about Rabbi Yeshua says 2 days? The Rashi writes that it's a hetra nacha already on the second day, according to Rabbi Shua, also midin mixas yom kukulo. Whereas the Rif and the Gaonim and the Rambam say that you're allowed to wear tefillin on the second day, according to Rabbi Shua, not because of mixas yom kukulo, because the Isser is only a 1 day Isser. The Ikram Rirus is chad yom of achrisa ki yomar. There is no second day. There are no 2 days. It sounds from the Brisa that there are. The way Rabbi Shua originally presents his opinion is that there are 2 days where there's an Isser tefillin, and then on the second day you're allowed to wear tefillin. Sounds a lot more like Rashi, but that's a machlokas Rishonim. Now, if you assume that it's a din of mixiyom kukula, that's like Rashi, it's a little bit interesting that on two days there's a din of a malos, that it's already considered a series of days that you have a malos even when it's only 2 days. But that's what it sounds like. That's what that's the implication of Rashi. It's also interesting. Actually, we'll leave it at that for now. So so Vayter in the Gemara. So now we'll move on to other halachos that relate to an Avel. Tan Rabbanan, Avel Gimel Yom Harishonin, Asur B'Malacha, V'afilu Ani Amisparnis Menat Staka. The first 3 days, an Avel is not allowed to do Malacha, even if he's Nebuch Na'ani, that's Misparnis Menat Staka, that needs to get money from Tzedakah. Mikan Ve'elach, also B'tzinah B'toch Besa. But after the first 3 days, he could do Malacha privately in his house. Ve'isha Tovah B'pelach B'toch Besa. And a woman is allowed to do her work in the house also. Tanra about another brisa. Avel gimel yom rishonim eino holeich lebeisa avel. An avel for the first 3 days is not allowed to go to a beis avel. Mikan ve'elach holeich ve'inu yoshiv makom ha-menachemin of makom ha-misnachemin. After the first 3 days of his avelus, he's allowed to go to another beis avel, but he shouldn't sit amongst those who are being menachim others. He's not holding there yet at being menachim others. He should sit together with the misnachemin, with the people who are receiving nechama. The Meiri has an interesting suffix over here. So what about going to other places, not to a beis avel? Is that better or worse? Do we say that after that in the first 3 days, he's not allowed to go to a beis avel dafka, but other places he is allowed to go? Or is it no? If anything, the beis avel is the only place that's right for him to go. So the Meiri says, it's a kavach. At first says Kal V'chomer. If he doesn't go to the Beis Avel for the first 3 days, he certainly shouldn't go anywhere else. And even after 3 days, when he's allowed to go to the Beis Avel, he shouldn't go anywhere else other than the Beis Avel. Then he quotes Yesh Mishomer that Adraba, that to somewhere else it would be mutarim to go. Going to a Beis Avel is more chamor, because when he's going to Beis Avel, he's showing that he's ready to be Menachim Acherim, that he's no longer an Avel. He's ready to take the reverse role. He's leaving. He's Porek Mimenu the Avelus. He's removing himself from his avelus, and he's willing to take the other side of being menachim other people. So Rishonim say that's the suffix in the Meiri. Those are the 2 days in the Meiri. Rishonim also all right over here from the fact that it says mikan ve'eluch he's holy for beis avel. We're matir avelim to go to shul on Tishbav, because the beis haknesses on Tishbav is considered to be a beis avel. That's why Tosfos writes that you see from here that on Tishbav, even though it has a din of a person sitting shiva, it doesn't have a din of the first 3 days of shiva. It has a din of the rest of shiva, because the first 3 days of Shiva, you wouldn't be allowed to go to a Beis Avel, and the only heter we have to go to shul on Tisha B'Av is that the shul is considered the Beis Avel. Tan Rabbanan, another brisa. Avel Gimel Yom Rishonim Asur B'Sheila Shalom, Mishol Shavat Shiva, Mei Shavei Nashol. First 3 days, there's no Sheila Shalom. From day 3 to day 7, he's Mei Shavei Nashol. He can respond, but he cannot initiate the Sheila Shalom. Mikan Ve'elach, Sho'ol Mei Shav Kedarko. But after that, after Shiva, he could greet people and respond in a normal way. Shlosh yom rishonim asur b'sheila shalom. Wait a second. First 3 days, he's asur b'sheila shalom. V'atanya, but we have a brisa that seems to say otherwise. Ma'isu meisu banu shor b'kiva. One time, Rabbi Kiva's children died. Nichnasu kol Yisrael of the speed of hesped gadol, and there was a massive hesped. Everyone came. B'shas p'tirasim, when everyone was about to leave. Amar Rabbi Kiva al safsal gadol. Rabbi Kiva stood on a big bench. Ramar and he said, "Achinu beis Yisrael shemu afilu shnei banim chasanim menucham hu b'shvil kavod shasisam." Even if it was shnei banim chasanim that I had that died, even if they were both chasanim, it would be a nechama for the kavod that you just brought them, that by having so many people show up to the levaya. Vim b'shvil akiva basem harikama akiva b'shukin. If you were just here because my name happens to be Akiva, well, there are a lot of people whose names happens to be Akiva. Elakach amartem Torah selukav belibo. You clearly came not for a covet of me personally, but a covet of my Torah, a covet of Torah that made you come up and made you come for the levaya. And therefore, v'kol shkein shescharchem kafel, you'll have double the schar. Not only did you do covet of mace, but you did the covet of the Torah. L'chula bateichem l'shalom. And then he says l'chula bateichem l'shalom. So he's telling them right there in the first 3 days of Avelis, and he's initiating shalom. And says the Gemara, covet rabim shiny. For covet rabim, you're allowed to do it, but for on an individual level, he's not allowed to say shalom. The gimel vad zayin meshev eino shalom. He can veil shalom meshev kedarko. We said from day three to seven he could respond, but he cannot be shalom. And after that he could converse normally. Or a minu, but I'll ask you stira hamotzi as chaveru aval b'toch la midyom medabri motan chumen veinol shalom b'shlomo. Within 30 days of when someone lost a relative, you can still give him nechama, and you cannot be shalom b'shlomo. La'ach la midyom shalom b'shlomo veinol medabri motan chumen. After Shloshim, you're allowed to greet him normally, you're allowed to be shol b'shlomo, but you're not allowed to give him nechama. Mesa ishto v'nasi isha acheres eino rashi likanis nebesel dabri motan chumen. If the guy's wife died and he's remarried, then you're not allowed to be medaber tanchumen to him in his house, because his new wife is in the house. That's something that halacha is very sensitive to. The new wife shouldn't have to be looking over her shoulder and thinking about. That's why the poskim recommend not to have pictures of the first wife in the house when the new wife moves, because she's going to have to walk around the house looking at the pictures of the first wife. It could be very, very challenging, very difficult for her. So Tosus over here points out, wait a second, this is talking about within Shloshim. How's the guy remarried within Shloshim? You're not allowed to get married within Shloshim. Tosus says it's not entirely true. There are a couple of exceptions where one is allowed to get married within Shloshim. Tosus points out that Tzarech Lukume Be'in Lobanim L'Pirush Rabbeinu Tam Shemat L'Isi Shachar Shiva. Rabbeinu Tam holds someone who's not yet been Mekayim Mitzvah Puravu is allowed to get married within Shloshim. Or Tosus says the other possibility is he does have children and they're banim kitanim and he needs someone to take care of them, and the Rishonim say that he's allowed to get remarried so that someone could take care of the banim kitanim, and he just has nisr tashmi, not allowed to be boel until after shloshim, but he can get married so that someone will be in the house to take care of the banim kitanim. Tosus discusses this at much greater length in Maseches Ksuvos. Matzu b'shuk omer lo b'safa rafa b'chavid rosh. If you find him in the market, so you should speak to him in a more in a way that's obvious that there's a sense of avelus. Amar Avidi Baravin, who shol b'shalom acherim, shacherim shruim b'shalom. He could greet others because others are shruim b'shalom. Acherim in shol b'shalomo, shuein ashar b'shalom. But others can't greet him b'shalom because they can't be shol b'shalomo because he doesn't have shalom. He doesn't have a sense of peace. V'amidiktani meshiv mechal d'shailinu le. But wait a second. The fact that it says meshiv sounds like we are shoel. So lo yadi. No, we're talking about people who didn't know. Ihachi asam nami. So if that's the case, then by Shloshim also, which we said it's applies to Shar Krovim. So answer Gemara, no, Hasam Modulu V'lo Mahadulu, Hachalot Tzarech Lo De'inhu. Over there, you let him know, and they won't and don't respond. Over here, you don't need to let them know. Or a minu, ask Gemara, Stira, Motzi Es Chaver Ovel B'Tochid Beis Chodesh Medabri Motan Chumen Veinu Shol B'Shlomo. You find someone within Yud Beis Chodesh, you speak to Chumen, you don't greet him. La'ach Yud Beis Chodesh Shol B'Shlomo Veinu Medabri Motan Chumen Avol Medabri Momen Atzad. And after Yud Beis Chodesh, you could be shol b'shlomo, and you don't give him the chama, but you medabri moment at sad in a little bit of a roundabout way to give him the nechama. You don't say it straight out. Amar Meir, Motzi Es Chaveru Ava La'achar Yud Beis Chodesh, medabri moment and chumin l'mahu dome. If you're still giving the chama after Yud Beis Chodesh, you know what that's like. It's la'adam shenishbara raglo. It's like if you have a friend who broke his leg, v'chisa, and it's already cured. Matzu rofe. Then a doctor says, and he says, I'm an expert doctor. I would do a great job curing a broken leg like that. So I'll tell you what, Ramlo Kolchei Tzlisha Nishova Varapena, just to demonstrate to you what a great doctor I am, I'll come to my office, I'll break your leg again, and then I'll cure it. Kedesh Tedesh Samanim Shali Yafin, so you can see how good I am at practicing medicine, that I'll be able to fix it. He's finally getting over it, and you're going to bring it up again, you're going to rehash, so you don't do that. But all of this is one big kasha. Sounds like that even after Shiva, there's still some sense sense of not being shol b'shlomo. Says Mor lo kasha, haba v'imo habishar krovim. There's a difference between ava v'imo versus shar krovim. By ava v'imo, it's obviously a more intense avela. So by ava v'imo, you're not shol b'shlomo until yud beis chodesh. By shar krovim, you're shol b'shlomo lachar laban yom. So says Mor hasam nami yidabri imo tanchum minat sad. Why don't we say that for shloshim, which by shar krovim, you should be medaber tanchum minat sad. Says Mor ein chinami umay inu medaber imo tanchumin. When we say inu medaber imo tanchumin, it means kedarko avol medaber imo minat sad. But in a roundabout way, you can give him a little bit of nechama laachar shloshim, just like by av v'imo, you could give tanchumin minat sad laachar yud beis chodesh. For other relatives, you give tanchumin minat sad liachar shloshim yom. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up a tanurah.